Now see yourself in business, Ebenezer.
Come, come, Mr. Fezziwig. We're good friends, I think. Besides good men of business, we're men of vision and progress. Why don't you sell out while the going's good? You'll never get a better offer. This is the age of the machine and the factory and the vested interests.
We small traders are old history, Mr. Fezziwig. Dodos.
Yes, I dare say we are. And the offer is a very large one, I have to admit. But it's not just for money alone that one spends a lifetime building up a business, Mr. Jorkin.
Well, if it isn't, I'd like you to tell me what you do spend a lifetime building up a business for.
It's to preserve a way of life that one knew and loved. No, I can't see my way to selling out to the new vested interests, Mr. Jorkin.
This interview is entitled "A Vest Has No Sleeves," by the way.
Well, she's pretty avant-garde, too, man. Well, maybe no, she should try
that's,
to put the horn
that's
for.
An immortal quote of of Phil Proctor's, as quoted by this girl, pause, "Oh, we're sorry, but you didn't face the answer. The answer to the question, why is a cow, is because a vest has no sleeve."
I'll have to be loyal to the old ways and die out with them if needs must.
Well, you know what they say about time and tide, Mr. Fezziwig? They wait for no one.
There's more in life than money, sir.
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Fezziwig, sir.
Yes, my boy?
The foreman would appreciate a word with you if you can spare the time, sir.
Yes, of course. Excuse me a moment.
You can't teach an old dog new tricks, can you, Mr. Scrooge? Nor teach the leopard to change its spots.
Well, I think I know what Mr. Fezziwig means, though, sir.
Oh, so you hate progress and money too, do you?
Well, no, I don't hate them, sir, but, well, perhaps the machines aren't such a good thing for mankind after all.
Hello, Clive.
Ah, come on in, Chester.
Well, thank you very much. Hi. Thank you very much.
Hey, you're just in time to help me check out this new model government.
Yeah?
Yeah, they just brought it down and they say it explains everything.
Well, you know, it sure is big.
Hey, well, look over there in the left end. That's where you work there, in the Bureau of Western Mythology.
By golly, we're at proud service of the Lost Electricity Reclamation Agency, Senator.
Yeah, well, the LES is under the left, well, it's,
I don't...
I think I'll just plug it in.
Oh, right? Well, listen, I'll just use this little plug right down here.
Not that plug, Chucko. See?
Oh, that's terrible.
You've got to plug in the female. Listen to it. Teaches you, huh?
Yeah.
Half of what comes in here?
Must go out there.
Righto. Let's see what it does with this fine miniature boxcar of industrial coke.
Okay. Look at that.
That's
amazing.
Let's see. It's pumped from the Veterans Tap Dance Administration.
It goes up here to the Assistant Secretary of Leftovers.
Flip-flop down to the Secretary of Covers.
Right. Now watch it go now. Around the Department of Spies.
Into the office of the Secretary of Failure himself, wouldn't you know? That's shoes for industry, Charlie.
And it's food for thought, you know, Mr. Brown?
Yeah, but we're talking about power, Chucko.
Well, I know you are. You wouldn't be here.
Oh, look at that.
Yes, sirree.
It heard the word power, and it responded just like we do. And here it comes. Here comes our ox cart right back to Earth. Smack dab on the middle of the Small Animal Administration.
Well, I must say, that's the most incredible demonstration, but where are the humans, officer?
Why, they're right here, son, waiting in the lobby to use the power of that ton of coke.
Sage and onions, my dear fella. Gammon and spinach. Why, suppose I told you could get twice the salary old Fezziwig can afford to pay you, and advancement he can't afford to offer you, as a clerk in a new company. What would you say to that, eh?
I'd still say money wasn't everything, sir.
Oh, well, if it ain't, I don't know what is. Come and see me someday anyway, young fella. You're smart and you're no fool. That's the kind of buck they're looking for these days.
Well, there you are, me buck. That's where you start. And you can work your way on up as high as the dome of St. Paul's Cathedral if you've a mind to do so. Control the cash box and you control the world. By the way, how did old Fezziwig take it when you said you were leaving him?
You wish me luck, sir.
No hard feelings, eh? Starting with a clean slate. Good. And now let me introduce you to your fellow clerk, Mr. Marley. Just a moment, please.
Mr.
Scrooge, the new clerk, Mr. Jacob Marley, our wizard of the accounts.
Your servant, Mr. Marley.
Your servant, Mr. Scrooge.
Well, say, where are all the doggies?
They've mysteriously disappeared.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, I just told you. Along with the servants. They were very attached to one another.
Where?
At the wrist and ankles.
Wait a minute. You said all the servants had disappeared.
Did I?
What about your butler?
You mean Catherwood?
Yes, madam.
Catherwood. Oh, you startled me.
I'm sorry, madam.
What are you doing there on all fours?
I'm looking for my script. Why don't you just go on without me?
Listen, Mansi, I smell a rat.
So do I. I think he's got my script.
Oh, yes, Catherwood, you look for it, all right?
All right, madam.
I'm sure you two gentlemen will get along famously.
I'm sure we shall, Mr. Jorkins. Yeah.
Well, I'll leave you to it.
Thank you. The place, no doubt, seems new and strange to you.
Somewhat.
The world is on the verge of new and great changes, Mr. Scrooge. Some of them, of necessity, will be violent.
Do you agree? Oh, I think the world's becoming a very hard and cruel place, Mr. Marley. One must steel oneself to survive it.
And across him all we flung one shining steel rail.
Rockefeller. Rockefeller,
one shining steel rail from sea to mighty sea, from coast to mighty coast, from Bangor all the way to mighty Maine.
This is a good time for us to take a few minutes of time out here and mention to the folks that the program's coming to them from Steel Hats. The sun never sets on a steel hat.
That's true, that's true. Steel Hat, Nebraska is where all of these fine goods are made.
Yes,
and,
indeed.
And we would suggest that if you are ever in or near Steel Hat, a fine little town of 500 on the North Platte.
Just been bought by the Gay Liberation Front, I might say.
Steel Hat? Steel Hat?
Yeah.
It's been. It's a company town now.
Yeah, there's more of them than there are of them, and so they bought it from them.
Well, that's sad. Well, if you're in Steel Hat and can get with it, you know. Why, come by and see the Steel Hat plant, because the folks down there will be love to...
And don't miss the demonstration, the Steel Hat demonstration.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you get to wear a steel hat, and they hit you with a sledgehammer. And...
Oh, right in the head?
Yeah. Boom!
Oh,
it's
boy,
wonderful.
That's hard on
boy,
the ears.
Boy, that's fun. Do that to me, will you?
Okay.
Boom! Oh, tickles.
Do you know that...
You're not even wearing a steel hat.
No, I'm not. I forgot my steel hat.
Oh, you dummy.
Yeah,
oh,
boy, I'm not so dumb. I'm Dr. IQ.
Not be crushed under with the weak and the infirm.
I think we have many things in common, Mr. Scrooge.
I hope so, Mr. Marley.
And as your business prospered, Ebenezer Scrooge, a golden idol took possession of your heart, as Alice said it would.
May we hear those figures, Mr. Snedgrid, at your pleasure? Certainly, Mr. Groper. Well, gentlemen, after 17 years of existence, the Amalgamated Mercantile Society's books show the startling figures of a liability of £3,200, 8 shillings and tenpence, and a total asset of £11, 8 shillings and tenpence.
Well, at least the tenpences cancel each other out.
How much of this is the company's capital?
All of it, Mr. Rosebud.
In short, sir, you're not only a bankrupt, you're an embezzler of the company's funds.
I also beat my wife and skewer innocent babies when in my cups.
Take a very cool attitude, if I may say so, sir.
So do Mr. Scrooge and Mr. Marley.
They're not facing prosecution for a capital offense.
Oh, but gentlemen, it could have been any one of you. We're all cutthroats under this fancy linen, Mr. Snedrig.
I must ask you to speak for yourself, Mr. Jorking.
And what would you gain to prosecute me? All you'd get out of it is about £11 odd. And to pack me off to Botany Bay would be poor compensation for the panic that would arise among the shareholders.
Panic, sir?
Yes, panic. Would any of you gentlemen care to deny that if this juicy little scandal leaked out now, the annual shareholders' meeting would resemble an orchestra of scorched cats?
I discovered a certain thing right between my thighs. Dear, where's the dead cat?
It's in the soap dish.
But there's soap in the soap dish.
Yeah. The cat's in the soap.
What?
Yes, dear. There's a whole dead cat in every bar of dead cat soap.
Over the Edge. The story of Peggy
and what a woman feels when she must find out for herself the things her husband does not know, and face the fact that life must go on, even over the edge.
Result? Bankruptcy all round. Strike that speech out of the minutes.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Joking doesn't exaggerate the imprudence of allowing his misdemeanors to be made public.
Are you in sympathy with Mr. Joking by any chance, Mr. Scrooge?
Not, I confess, with his methods. But Mr. Marley and I have a proposition to make to the representatives of the company, which might solve some of the difficulties to our general advantage.
The devil you have. You want to watch these two fellows, you know. They'd skin Jack Ketch alive and he'd never know they'd done it. Can we hear the proposition?
Shall I be spokesman? Mr. Marley and myself are prepared to make good out of our own private resources a sum of money appropriated by Mr. Joking.
Reprieved. Reprieved! Curfew shall not ring tonight, Mr. Snedry.
Order, order!
In return, we wish to be allowed the option of buying up further shares in the company to a maximum of 51% of the total.
In short, gentlemen, if you wish to save the fair name of the company by accepting their generous offer, they become the company.
Never!
1%?
Out of the question!
Never!
51%?
Never. Out of the question, and also out of order, Mr. Scrooge.
Jacob. Well, have they seen to you properly?
Last rites and all that, hmm?
Because Bob put the Marley name in the world, you know. He filled the world with the Marleys by all his music and his children. And he now becomes the Marley. You know what I mean? He now becomes the Marley.
There's nothing I can do, hmm? Oh? What, particularly?
Well,
There's
still time.
Time? Time for what?
We've been wrong.
Huh?
Wrong.
Oh. Well, we can't be right all the time. Nobody's perfect.
Dogs flew spaceships. The Aztecs invented the vacation. Men and women are the same sex. Our forefathers took drugs. Your brain is not the boss.
Yes,
that's right.
Everything you know is wrong.
Hello, seekers. Here we go again. And hello especially to the skeptic inside you who might still believe that pigs live in trees and that faithful Rover is nothing but a pet sleeping by the doggy door. Well, doggone it, he's smarter than you'll ever be. Yes, I've got proof here that his ancestors came from the dog star millions of years ago to rule the earth. He's been there. And you probably don't even know where you are.
We've been no worse than the next man. Oh, better if it comes to that. You mustn't reproach yourself, Jacob.
We are wrong.
What?
Save yourself.
What? Save myself? Save myself from what? Hmm? Speak up.
Yes.
Just like you said.
I always know.
I cannot bear it.
Jacob Marley worked at your side for 18 years. He was the only friend you ever had. But what did you feel when you signed the register of his burial and took his money, his house, and his few mean sticks of furniture? Did you feel a little pity for him? look at your face, Ebenezer. A face of a wrenching, grasping, scraping, covetous old sinner.
No, 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 no.
All right. Who do you want? Who do you want to
well,
talk to?
Let's talk to George Washington,
yeah,
the father of our country. Surely he must have some words of wisdom for our troubled times.
Operator, do you have an astral listing for a George Washington?
What location, please?
Mount Vernon, 5th Bardo.
One moment, please.
Hello, is George Washington available for plasmic manifestation?
I'll have to see. He's in the shower. George!
What is it, Marthy?
There's a medium on the phone.
Well, take the message.
They want you to do your plasmic inevitable.
Oh, well, I'll be right there.
All right. Okay, could we have quiet, please, because he'll be appearing soon. Right about over there.
My fellow colonials, the Revolutionary War was the least I could do for every American boy between the ages of 17 and 76.
Oh, come back, George, come. He's faded away.
Gee whiz, Mr. Wizard, he wasn't wearing any pants.
That was amazing.
really fantastic.
Did he have his teeth in this time? I can't see him, of course.
Unbelievable. Organic materials can't come through the astral plane.
No, cellulose doesn't make it into the mortal plane.
Neither do pants.
No, it's...
The pleasure had been indefinitely postponed.
So? Is your heart still unmoved towards us then?
I'm too old. I'm beyond hope. Go and redeem some younger, more promising creature. Leave me to keep Christmas in my own way.
Mortal, we spirits of Christmas do not live only one day of our year. We live the whole 365. So is it true of the child born in Bethlehem? He does not live in men's hearts only one day of the year, but in all the days of the year. You have chosen not to seek him in your heart. Therefore, you shall come with me and seek him in the hearts of men of goodwill. Come, touch my robe.
Visited this dwelling before?
No. I'm certain that I have. I never knew.
I thought as much.
Why are we here? These people mean nothing to me.
Know you not the family of the man who has slaved for you from dawn to dark these many years?
Bob Cratchit? Why, it's impossible. But they appear to be so happy. I pay Cratchit a wage of but 15 bob a week.
Their happiness lies in something apparently quite foreign to you.
And what is that?
Love.
What is keeping your father and your brother, Tiny Tim? Why, bless your heart, my dear, how late you are. And how did Tiny Tim behave?
As good as gold and butter. He told me coming home that he hoped the people saw him in church because he was a cripple, and it might be pleasant to let them remember upon Christmas Day who made lame beggars walk and blind men see.
X3, five-star, fine, fine, braille, final. Feel all about it.
Hey, you don't have to yell. We're standing right here.
How do I know? I'm blind. I can't see you. Oh, may I proceed?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, go
legendary
ahead.
Bad guy Rocky Rococo faces police Sar Bradshaw in mayoral toss-off. Pledges to track mud across clean city platform. X3.
I could have gotten all that information at firesigntheater.com. Keyword, blind newsboy.
X3, phone rings in distance. It's Nick.
Hey.
You won't find that on the web, smartass.
Oh, yeah? I ought to give
go
you the
ahead.
Hot kiss
get
at the end of a wet...
Boy. Put him up. Where'd you go?
Hurry, children. Our dinner is ready.
Have a gander and some razzleberry dressing.
Oh, razzleberry dressing would be nice.
Will we have a pudding made of liver while we're guessing?
Or maybe razzleberry dressing twice.
We haven't had a hen since I can't tell you when.
I was a cock cheeser at Roosterama.
Oh, really?
I used to enrage the bantams before the big bouts.
Yeah, right. That's
not an easy thing. Ask Pedro here.
Yeah, right.
What?
Pedro, you used to work down there, Roosterama.
Yeah, sure, man. You were the best cock.
How did you enrage those little buggers?
I used to sit on them, man.
See, man, that's hard.
I would dress up like a big egg, man, and then I would sit on them, and that freaks them out.
Those chickens are really confused.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
We love a hen again
with razzleberry dressing.
We've been so awful good
from me down to the baby.
And we're not made of wood
or razzleberry gravy.
We'll have the Lord's bright blessing.
A mighty hot dog is our Lord.
And knowing we're together, heart and hand, we'll make the whitest Christmas, the very brightest Christmas, a Christmas far more glorious than grand. We can't afford to have a hen. We will someday, I vow. So I suggest you dream of then. And prize what we have now.
Could we have a Christmas tree and on each branch a goodie? Some waffle jelly cake would be so nice. Could we have a stocking full of presents, Father? Could we? Some waffle jelly cake, perhaps a slice. And on the tree a star.
For the benefit of Japanese tourists and Middle Western thrill seekers, the sidewalk on both sides of Hollywood Boulevard has been punctuated with brass stars dedicated to both these celebrated and totally forgotten folk of show business. My star is in a driveway next to a Middle Eastern takeout stand, not far from the old Egyptian theater. Well, I try to visit it once a year and scrape off the chewing gum. Back in the 40s, when the stars were real people.
A shiny Christmas gold, a candle in a jar, a razzleberry dressing.
We can't afford a Christmas tree. We will someday, I vow. Start smiling and enjoy with me the miracle of now.
Radio Now.
If it's not happening now, it's in your dreams.
We'll have the Lord's right blessing and knowing we're together.
Christmas to us all, my dears. God bless us.
God bless us.
God bless us, everyone.
What's wrong with that boy? The tiny one.
I see a vacant seat in the chimney corner and a crutch tenderly preserved. If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will die.
What then? If he liked to die, he'd better do it and decrease the surplus population.
Am I in the presence of the ghost of Christmas yet to come? You are about to show me shadows of things that will happen in the time before us. Is that so, Spirit? Ghost of the future, I fear you more than any specter I have seen.
The future is fun. The future is fair. They already have won.
Hello.
Hello.
We're glad you made it.
Welcome to the future.
Will you not speak to me? Lead on, Spirit. Lead on. Well, James, good morning, Brady. Morning, Billings.
No, I don't know much about it either way. I only know he's dead.
When did he die?
Last night, I believe.
What was the matter with him? I thought he'd never die.
Heaven only knows.
What's he done with his money?
He hasn't left it to me, that's all I know.
Well, it's likely to be a cheap funeral. Upon my word, I don't know anybody who'll go to it.
I don't mind going if a lunch is provided, but I must be fed if I do.
I'm Stuffed Prawn.
And I'm the little gimmick in his pocket, but Momsy. And together we're...
The Grassroots Gourmet. We dined yesterday at Ye Pewter Tooth in Vicks Rub, Virginia. Billed as an authentic Revolutionary War restaurant, so I hope you wouldn't have to bite the pullet.
Hee-hee. It's housed in the former residence of Patriot Morris Sugar, who joked just before he was hung by the Brits, I regret I have but one lump to take for my country.
The feast begins with the maitre d' trotting past your table yelling, the hors d'oeuvres are coming, the hors d'oeuvres are coming, followed by a ragged-looking waiter covered in macaroni and bearing a Revereware pewter platter overflowing with an old English horse meat peppered with melon balls and shot through with muscatel.
I then ordered the Ben Franklin kebab, kite tails, French tomatoes, and Philadelphia mince skewered on a lightning rod and flash-fried in a rain. Storm.
Yum. I chose the melting pot pie. Scandinavian fish heads surrounded by new Irish potatoes and pasty English goose flesh served with no upper crust in a Native American shell ground from the flour of our former utes.
For dessert, George Washington's favorite thin gray gruel topped with cherry pits and seedless hemp seeds.
Yes, Washington ate here. This is stuff.
And but.
The grassroots gourmet. Oh, another uprising.
Spirit, what connection these people have with my future? Of whom are they talking? Jacob Marley's death was in the past, and where am I? I'm always here at this hour of the day. Always.
What poor stiff have you robbed now?
Not so poor that I shouldn't get a handsome price. Have a look.
Bed curtains, eh? You don't mean to say you took them down, rings and all, with him lying there?
Why not? Who should care for the likes of him?
I got his boots and cuff buttons.
All I got was his sheets.
Watch, fob, seal, pencil case, sleeve buttons, brooch.
Yes. 8 shillings this lot, and I wouldn't give you another sixpence. Not if I was boiled for life for not doing it. Who's next?
Always the lady, dear. I shall have to insist you all stop and watch mine, now that we're so open and above with each other. 2 sheets, 2 towels, shirt, teaspoons, 2 silver, sugar tongs, boots assorted, power.
Here, 17 and 6. I always give too much to a lady. It's a weakness of mine. That's how I come to ruin myself. Here, if you ask for another penny, made it an open question, I'd regret my liberality. Knock on half a crown.
Now open my bundle, Joe.
Come on, what's in it?
Ah.
Eh?
You wait and see.
Yeah.
Bed curtains.
Bed curtains?
Ah, bed curtains.
What do you... Don't say you took these down, rings and all, and... Oh, him lying there?
Yes, I do. Why not?
You was born to make a fortune, ma'am, and you certainly will.
I certainly won't hold back my hand when I can get something in it. For the sake of such a man as he was, I promise you, Joe.
These his blankets, too.
Whose else do you think? He ain't likely to take cold without them, I dare say.
He didn't die of anything catching,
did he? Oh, don't you be afraid of that. Yeah. I wasn't too fond of his company. I'd loiter about him for such things if he did. And you can look through that till your eyes ache and you won't find a hole in it. It's the best one he had, and a fine one, too. They'd have wasted it if it hadn't been for me.
What do you mean, wasted it?
Well, they'd have buried him in it, of course. But I took it off of him again, as if calico ain't good enough for burying. Anyway, it's just as becoming to the body. He couldn't have looked uglier than what he did in this one.
It's poetic justice.
He frightened everybody away from him when he was alive, and now he benefits us when he's dead.
Hey, Smut.
Yeah?
Where should I put these large squirt fish and the elephants filled with bendable dogs?
Oh, just stack them next to the guardian angel pants.
Oh, where's that?
Oh, under the gangster hatch and inflatable saxophones.
Oh, yeah,
Come on. Oh, afternoon.
Howdy, Mutt.
Hi, Smut.
Hi, fellas.
Yeah.
Now, me and Elmer here, we're going on a camping trip.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but we'll need to kill some things while we're out there.
Are we talking fish or fowl?
And terrorists.
Whoever comes along.
Yeah, we're going for a balanced diet.
Well, scene. Take a gander here at these Texas Rag Robo Duck and Goose floats with optional decoy hearts and quiver magnets.
Yeah, they add ripples to your spread now, you know.
You know, I was actually hoping for them terrorists. You'd still have some of those smart sticks. Goose News Magnums, crap duster decoys.
With a solid brass snap, swivels, and the galvanized gang rings gets them every time.
Yeah, I know. Sold out last week.
Goose pimples.
No, boys, this might work. We got final approach decoys designed to match the floating coffin laydown blinds that we sold you last season.
Yeah. Well, I blew a hole in the floating coffin.
It's at the bottom of Dead Man's Pond.
Well, then you can settle into this spacious bulletproof shell of this man-sized goose chair here.
Wow, there you go.
Both a decoy and a blind.
Just like the government.
And it comes with an optional snow skirt.
Just like the government.
We'll take two.
Yeah. Okay, and with two, you get this automatic Big Guy Widowmaker Deluxe Duck Walker with rubber fingers. Look at this.
Well, thanks a lot, Mutt.
Just put it in on our bill. Quack, quack, and get it out.
Yeah, lock the phone, boy.
Don't forget to aim.
Oh, my. Don't you just love the summer, Mike?
Yeah, hunting for a bargain.
Oh, sewing away, my dear.
So late, Robert?
I had something to see to on my way home.
You went there again?
Yes. It does my heart good to see how green a place it is. But you'll see it often. I promised him that we would walk there on Sundays.
Hush, my dear, hush. Tears cannot bring Tiny Tim back to us.
Tiny Tim? Oh, no. Oh, no, not Tiny Tim.
Shoes for industry.
Shoes for the dead.
Shoes for industry.
Hi, I'm Joe Beats. Hey, what chance does a returning deceased war veteran have for that good-paying job, more sugar, and the free mule you've been dreaming of? Well, think it over. Then take off your shoes. Now you can see how increased spending opportunities means harder work for everyone. And more of it, too. So do your part today, Joe. Join with millions of your neighbors and turn in your shoes.
For industry!
Sleep peacefully, my little love.
Spirit! Could I not have done something so that Tiny Tim might still live? Have I truly been so heartless? Oh, Spirit, Spirit, show me my future self.
The Future Fair. A fair for all and no fair to anybody.
What is this? Before I look, tell me, please. Are these the shadows of the things that will be? Or are they shadows of things that might be?
Now, where do you come from?
I come from the shadows, Mac.
His policy was that great stars sometimes get messed up when they get afraid, you know, when they get nervous on stage. So he said that if we went to the cemetery at, say, 2:00 in the morning and sang for those people, then we can't be afraid when we hit the stage. And we went with Joe, sat on the graves, played. Several times we do it until he thought we were brave enough now.
Spirit, no, I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year. And I will not shut out the lessons that have been taught to me. I promise. Oh, tell me that I may sponge away into writing on your stones.
Clamosaurs and oysterettes appeared as appetizers. Then came the sponges, which sucked up about 10% of all life.
Please, Spirit, please. I beg of you.
I'm not the man I was. I'm not the man I was. I'm...
Tell me, what day is it?
What day? Well, it's Christmas Day, of course. Christmas Day.
Then I haven't missed it. The spirits must have done everything in one night. Of course, they can do anything, can't they? Of course they can.
Are you quite yourself, sir?
What? I don't know. No, I don't think so. I hope not.
What?
The curtains are still here. They're still here. You didn't tear them down and sell them. They're here now. Everything's here. I'm here. And the shadows of things that would be can still be dispelled. And they will be. I know they will be. I know. I don't know what to do. I'm as light as a feather. I'm as happy as an angel. I'm as merry as a schoolboy. I'm as giddy as a drunken man.
Oh, that was so much fun.
Still
last week, the four of us in the Firesign Theater were invited to a holiday fundraising event at the Rising Gorge. You've heard of it? California chef Mario Bastardi's newest West Side eatery.
Well, it was called a wine testing These vintages had been acquired haphazardly from yard sales of indicted CEOs and busted.com.
Yeah, they were offered to us by the glass, cup, or hand, and they featured Peter Sellers' estate sale recorked sherries and half-drunk bottles.
Or a barrel, a cask, or a little jar. From Sherwood Forest's Robin Hood wine,
which went from the rich to the poor.
I tested the Jekyll and Hyde Lab shards.
Sometimes they're good, sometimes they'll kill you.
Yeah, it did taste a bit doctored.
Hey, I decanted an unlabeled bottle of Flooded Cellars Mixmaster's Choice.
Ooh.
And I took sips from a six-pack of premium vintages like Michael Jackson Nubile Moonwalk Whites and the Cabernet of Dr. Caligari.
Spooky. Since I brought my boys along, I opted to stay with the theme park rosé, the Fiddle-Dee-Dee Lake Spill Merlots, and the Roller Coaster Reds, which made my head spin.
Well, then I went on to the Pinot Cinema Noir, but I passed out after the first sip and someone stole my glass.
For dessert wines, they offered any port in a storm.
And a Godfather Grappa.
Which we couldn't refuse.
Afterwards, we sat with the owner, Mario, for a photo op and nursed some Grand Canal sparkling sewage water.
While the great man caressed a snifter of rare Loch Ness Triple X 12-year-old girly 10 years to life chocolate malt scotch. Ooh.
I think we're all still nursing a hangover.
Well, here, have some hair of the dog, Phil.
Hey, pour me a Boxer's Rebellion.
Well, I would have a borderline collie.
For me, some Rot Gutweiler.
Ooh, that's got a fight.
A Merry Christmas, Ebenezer. You old humbug. And a Happy New Year, as if you deserved it. Merry Christmas, Mrs. Dilber.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, thank you. And many, many of them.
Likewise.
Look, Mrs. Dilber, there's the corner where the spirit of Christmas present sat. And there's the door where Jacob Marley's ghost came through. And there's the window where I saw the wandering spirit. It's right, it's true, it all happened. I don't know what day of the month it is. I don't know how long I've been amongst the spirits. I don't know anything. I never did know anything. But now I know that I don't know anything. I don't
know anything. I never did know anything. But now I know that I don't know all of the Christmas morning. I must stand in my head. I must stand in my head.
Look, that's all very interesting, but the sun is going down.
Oh, no, no, you're all confused. The horizon is moving up.
Hey, listen, come on, you guys, help me, please.
I know, I know. Let's stand him on his head.
Here you go.
Hey, put me down.
Relax. Easy, boy.
Ah, you see? Now it's morning.
Oh,
he's no fun. He fell right over.
Please, Mr. Dilber, I am not mad. Even if I look...
Don't be violent, Mr. Scrooge, sir. You forced me to scream for the beagle.
The beetle, madam. I think for the beetle.
A guinea? Here, what for?
I'll give you one guess.
To keep me mouth shut?
To keep me mouth shut. No, Mrs. Dilber. It's for a Christmas present.
A Christmas present? For me?
Of course, for you. A merry, merry Christmas. Dear Mrs. Dilber, how much do I pay you?
2 shillings a week.
What? 2 shillings? It's forthwith raised to 10.
10 shillings a week here? You're sure you don't want to see a doctor?
A doctor? Certainly not. Nor the undertaker. Now off you go and enjoy yourself. Like a good girl.
Bob's your uncle! Merry Christmas, Mr. Scrooge! In keeping with the situation!
Bells. Merry, merry bells. The beautiful morning. Hello there. Hello, you boy, you.
Who, me?
Yes, you. Do you know the butchers in the next street but one?
I should hope so.
An intelligent boy. Remarkable boy. Tell me, have they sold the prize turkey that was hanging there, not the little turkey, the big one?
What, the one as big as me?
Yes. Delightful boy. Yes, my buck, the one as big as you.
It's hanging there still.
Is it? Very well then, go and buy it.
When I was traveling in Turkey back in the mid-60s...
It's appropriate to talk about this at Thanksgiving.
It is.
Go ahead.
I come into this small town called... Kilis, and I sit there.
Kilas?
Kilis.
Kill them.
Kilis, and I say, what's happening tonight? And they say, movie, there's a movie, let's go see a movie. So I expect to go someplace called, like, you know, the Kilis Bijou. It was the side of a mosque.
Uh-huh.
And they were showing...
The Mosque of Zorro.
They're showing a movie called, with Yul Brynner, called The Opium is Also a Flower. The Poppy is Also a Flower.
Oh, yeah.
It was that opium movie. So I'm sitting here seeing this movie about opium in Lower Turkey.
How's that for opiums?
And all these, you know, and they're going up and they're grabbing these things, go by like these big bugs.
Bah, humbug!
And I think they're going to swat them. They're eating them, man. They go, eat them. I'm like, wow, I'm ready. Hey. I'm not in Kansas anymore. Yes. Hey, oh, let me look. Oh,
See, we call that fly bean. Oh,
bean.
Yes.
Faul. Oh, that's masca. Masca bon faul. Yeah. Be faul. Yeah, very good, very good.
Walker!
No, wait a minute. I'm in earnest. Tell the butcher to bring it here and I'll give him the name of the party he's to send it to. Come back with the butcher and I'll give you a shilling. Come back with him in less than 5 minutes and I'll give you 0.5 crown. An enchanting boy. I'll send it to Bob Cratchit. That's what I'll do. He'll never dream where it came from. None of us here must have a label. Label. It's twice the size of Tiny Tim. Mr. Robert Cratchit, 2 Porter Street, Camden Town.
That's you, Robert. Leastways, there's no one else I know of.
I think I know who sent it.
Who?
Who? Mr. Scrooge.
Oh, dear, whatever made you think it might be him?
I don't know. I just think it.
What would make Mr. Scrooge take such leave of his senses suddenly?
Christmas?
Hatchet,
you're late.
Sir, what do you mean by coming in here this time of day?
I'm very sorry, sir. I am behind my time, sir.
You are indeed. Step this way, Mr. Cratchit, please.
It's only once a year, sir. It won't be repeated. I was making rather merry yesterday, sir.
I'm sure you were. Well, we won't beat about the bush, my friend. I'm not going to stand this sort of thing any longer. Which leaves me no alternative but to raise your salary. I haven't taken leave of my senses, Bob. I've come to them. From now on, I want to try to help you to raise that family of yours. If you'll let me. Well, we'll talk it over later, Bob, over a bowl of hot punch. Meanwhile, you just go and put some more coal in that fire. You go straight out and buy a new coal scuttle. Isn't you do that before you dot another I, Bob Cratchit?
Coal, you say? Coal, did you say, Bill? You talking about coal? Hopefully the line of opposition to the strip mine machine will continue to stiffen. I mean, no one denies the benefits which coal has brought to a developing
right.
nation and a bustling
right.
economy.
True enough.
But if men are to find on this land the necessities of life hundreds of thousands of years from now, we must cure ourselves of the expediency complex.
The coal seam was 75 feet under the earth. At the mouth of the tunnel, the coal seam was raised on an angle facing the mountain. We drove the tunnel 100 feet and met the coal seam and faced up the coal. After we drove the tunnel 20 feet, the rock was hard as flint rock. We had to sharpen our old auger often. Sometimes it would take as much as 2 hours to drill one hole. We were going about 1 foot a day in the tunnel. The air was bad. There was no ventilation.
Canary's
we
dead.
Decided to blast one day and clean the loose rock out the following day. We had to get some air in the tunnel, so we bought several joints of black 2-inch pipe and screwed them together and pushed them into the
great
tunnel. We pulled the blower off the blacksmith shop and attached it to the pipe and placed the blower 3 feet from the ground. All you had to do was turn the crank on the blower and pump air into the tunnel.
He tried to transmit his intellectual experience to his brother workers, but with discouraging results.
Ah, get out of here!
Once in the pit, he attempted to explain to them that the world was round, and he spun about vigorously on his feet to drive home his point. Ah!
He's crazy, Louis!
But the men laughed skeptically and declared that his information was absolutely untrue.
Yeah, follow me.
It's
henceforth,
absolutely untrue.
George remained isolated in the spring of his expanding universe.
You know, mountains have been removed, and societies and psychologies destroyed, and surface excavations resembling vast moon craters with hundreds of feet of soil, Bill, and rock discarded in the assault to reach the coal have been left in massive piles.
The tipple set out in a little field. It was 40 feet higher than the drift mouth of the coal mine. To overcome gravity, we built a trestle from the coal tipple back to the ground level of the mountain and laid steel track down
That's
the trestle.
Bill.
Then we graded a tram road down the mountain to the drift mouth of the mine. We laid steel track down the incline to the drift mouth of the coal mine. We walked back up the mountain to the top of the grade, installed a hoist powered by a 1927 Chevrolet engine. The drive shaft was attached to the hoist. We hooked a steel cable in the mining car, put the old Chevrolet engine in low gear and gave her the gas. The mining car climbed up the incline. When the mining car reached the top, we shut off the gas of the engine.
When I became aware that there were actually moonworms around the rocks, I'm afraid I temporarily lost my resistance, and that's when one of these parasites slipped into my head. They don't want to hurt anybody or anything, they just want to live inside others' heads!
Twice tragedy overtook him. Fanny Henderson, a farm servant who became his wife, died of consumption, leaving him with a young son. George's father was struck in the face by a blast of steam and lost his eyesight.
What a blast!
He retired from the pits, and George supported him for the remainder of his life.
You can put me down now, George.
Coal, man, that's really interesting. Coal.
I don't deserve to be so happy.
help it. I just can't help it.
Scrooge was better than his word. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city ever knew, or any other good old city, town, or borough in the good old world. And to Tiny Tim, who lived and got well again, he became a second father.
Uncle Scrooge!
And it was always said that he knew how to keep Christmas well, if any man alive possessed the knowledge. May that be truly said of us and all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone.
God is on vacation! God!